Welcome once again to Christ Church of Grace, and good morning to you all. Our God is so very good. And do you realize that there's never been a moment when you were not loved by Him? Well, before we get started, I have another funny story for you I want to share with you. So this is a story about a wealthy man. He told his wife that he wanted to be buried with all of his money. So at the funeral, a friend whispered to his wife. He said, "Did you really put all his money in the casket?" His wife nodded and said, "Of course, I wrote him a check." I don't know why his wife had to be so difficult. She could have just as easily Venmo'd or Cash Apped him the money too. Oh yes, God has truly shown us that the only way to take it with us is by storing up our treasure in heaven beforehand. That's what we must do. So let's look at doing just that. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. Says this, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. And they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made at beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Lord, you've done it all. You have given it all to us, and we humbly bow before your throne. You are the Lord of all creation, and we worship you alone. We come right now, come before you to hear your voice and to learn of your ways, Lord. Please teach us, show us, Lord, mold us and make us into your image. Give us a heart that is after you. And may this message and this word come forth boldly and confidently to encourage and inspire your people and bring glory ultimately to your name. We ask all of this in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we learned last week about giving. We recognize that giving is more than just something that we should feel obligated to do. No, we learned that giving has a purpose. It has a meaning. We learned that we give so that we may learn to revere the name of the Lord always. That in our giving, we express our gratitude for God's indescribable gift, the gift of His Son. So my point for you today is this: excel in the grace of giving. Excel in the grace of giving. Now that we've received and understand our gift, this incredible gift, how do we say thank you? If it is true when we say, "For from him and through him and for him are all things," then if that is true, what should our attitude be in giving? What should we give? How much should we give? And what is our role in giving? So let's dive right in and figure out what God is telling us on how to excel in the grace of giving. So back in our text in 2 Corinthians 8, Starting in verse 7, we read, "But since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." The first step, you see, in learning to excel in the grace of giving is learning to treasure God. To treasure Him and all that He gives us with sincere gratitude. Our hearts must be in the right place. James 4:3 warns us all of the dangers of having the wrong motives in our hearts. He says in James 4:3, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." Can you believe that? We ask wrongly. We know that God loves a cheerful giver, but He does not like a wasteful spender. So our focus must be on God and surrendering to His will. As 2 Corinthians 8 tells us, "And they did not do as we expected to the Macedonians. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." They gave themselves first to the Lord. You see, God doesn't want your money. He wants you. He has everything He needs. He wants you. In Psalm 50, we see about the collection of the wealth that God entails for Himself. Psalm 50, starting in verse 8. It says in Psalm 50, "I bring no charges against you concerning your sacrifices or concerning your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine, and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? No, sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High and call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you and you will honor me." God already has everything He needs. But for us, we can't find our joy until our treasure and our hearts find its rest in God alone. You see, we are incapable of giving anything without God, without His assistance. We can't do it. You don't have to give a single solitary dime in order to be the most generous person in the world. When you surrender your wants, when you surrender all of your desires to God first, then all of the best gifts of love and compassion and service that God has will flow from you. All of that comes from God first and foremost, and His indescribable gift of grace. That gift that works in us to produce a wealth of joy. Yes, giving is our joyful act of worship. He is producing that wealth of joy in us that we are to ultimately freely give away. We are to invest in joyful generosity that comes to meet the needs of others. And this can only happen when we are free, free to, as it says in 2 Corinthians, free to give as each has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful, God loves a joyful giver. You see, over and over again, we see that God's grace produces that joy, that cheerfulness. then in turn, which then produces generosity, which then produces thanksgiving and praise that goes right back to God. All of that from the joy of giving. Our giving, our generosity and sacrifices, all of that that we do here and now stores up for ourselves treasure for the future. You see, we don't need to stuff our caskets in order to take it with us. No, our joyful generosity is that eternal treasure in heaven that Jesus promises us in Matthew 6. He owns it all. He wants it all. The first and greatest commandment says this in Mark 12. Mark 12 and in verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. We have been bought with a price. We owe it all to Jesus. In biblical terms, wealth is measured by how much we give. You see, the tithe itself was instituted as a means for us to honor God with a portion of all that He has given us. It was meant to be a starting point. It was meant to be the training wheels for giving. In Matthew 23:23, we saw that tithing is described as an expression of our inward reality. It says in Matthew 23:23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." You see, God wants all of you. He doesn't want a tenth of you or 20% of you. He wants all of you, all of your time, all of your talents and abilities, and yes, all of your treasure. Why? This is not unprecedented. God Himself gave all of Himself to us. He sacrificed it all, and He wants us to do the same in return. God doesn't just want some of you or what you have. He wants every part of you and every part of what you have. He wants it all. You see, in the end, we are just merely stewards of all of His possessions. He created it and owns it all. And wealth is to be seen as a gift that comes right from God. It is to be used for His purposes and His mission on this earth. God wants us to truly enjoy Him and what He has created, and there's only one way to do that, by hoping in Him. In 1 Timothy 6, we see the commandment for all of us that have been given so much by God. In 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 17, it says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and be generous and willing to share. Yes, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life." You see, God has richly provided for us for everything that we need and everything that we've had. And He's done this for four specific purposes. and we read them here. The first one, we see that God has richly provided us with everything, first for our enjoyment. He's provided us with everything for our enjoyment. You see, God wants us to gladly receive and humbly enjoy all that comes from His hand. Second, we read in here that God is doing this for our good, for doing good. He wants us to do good. Our wealth should be used to serve and bring joy to others more than even ourselves. Third, God has provided us everything, so He provides it so that we would be rich in good deeds. Thirdly, He wants us to be rich in good deeds. We are to be rich in deeds of charity and mercy. We should be ready to meet the needs of our brothers. And finally, the fourth purpose is to produce in us a spirit of generosity. Always ready to share. This is truly life. This describes all of this in these verses. He's describing the true prosperity gospel. You know, our current day name it, claim it theology calls us to seek worldly riches for ourselves, for our earthly gain. But believers are called to invest in God's heavenly economy, storing up our treasures for ourselves in heaven, finding our joy and worth in freely sharing all of ourselves and all that we have, all that God has given us. That's what He wants from us. This is the only path that is truly life, a life that gives and is filled with joy. Our lives are to be shaped and molded in a way that we live with an open hand. Our lives are to be lived with our hands wide open to God, allowing God to take from us whatever He desires. The Christian evangelist George Mueller said it this way. He said, "God judges what we give by what we keep." God judges what we give by what we keep. We must give sacrificially, just like Christ did. God has promised that our giving is never in vain and that it will be effectual. In 2 Corinthians 9, He said that He is able to make all grace abound in us so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. We're guaranteed to be prosperous and effectual in our giving and our lives. Yes, we are to be living sacrifices of praise to God. Hebrews 13 says that through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. And in verse 16, it says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Giving is a sacrifice that pleases God. It is a real, invisible way to praise our God. For that is what we were made for. We were made to worship Him and to give in the same way He does. Giving should just permeate every part of our lives. And we should do this, and we should see it in our lives and everything we do. Through even random acts of kindness, we should be ready and willing to give, even before we're even asked to. We should be giving out of love, just because. Isn't that what God does? We don't deserve any of the gifts that He gives us, yet He loves us so much that He gives us, even in our sins, He gave it all. He gives just because he loves. Our giving is to be a roadmap for us to just take hold of these eternal pleasures of life that are to come that God has for us. It is our guide, it is our path to these eternal pleasures that are found only with God. And finally, we give to advance and support his kingdom. We give to advance and support his kingdom. In 1 Peter 4, it says this. 1 Peter 4 in verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. As each has received a gift, we've all been given something through God's grace. We have been blessed with a gift from God, and we're supposed to use those gifts to bless others, to serve others. God didn't give us gifts for ourselves. No, he gave it to us to share those gifts. So you see, the grace of giving is about service, service to the body of Christ. We're not to be absentee givers who just give and then move on to the next thing. No, we give recognizing our active participation in the work of the kingdom. We are active participants in God's work on this earth. We are here to serve and to serve one another. God has given to us so that we might give to others. Giving supplies the needs of God's people and results in this outflowing of thanks and praise that is returned back to God. You see, it's all about him. It's all about his glory. We are to give in the way that God has given, and we are to love each other in the way that he has loved us. We are to give. There's a blessing in the giving. In Acts 20 and verse 34, we see the blessing that comes in giving. Acts 20, starting in verse 34, we read, "You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. In the end, we receive infinitely more through our giving than in our getting. That's the reality of it. You see, Christian generosity starts with the receiving of God's perfect gifts. Then they don't stop there. We freely give it all away. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. So excel in the grace of giving. He wants all of you, your time, your talent, your treasure. So come before the Lord with an open hand and allow him to use you in any way he pleases. We are to exercise the joyful generosity, being ready to share all that we have with our brothers. So let's lay up treasure in heaven and take hold of life that is truly life. For we are blessed so that we can bless others. Lord, we love you with our whole heart. We see you as you truly are, and you see us, and we want to worship you. You have shown us your way of love and sacrifice, and we will follow you all of our days. We will follow your example and give it all. We will excel in the grace and joy of giving, yes, Lord, of serving and sharing you with others. You are our one desire, and we will worship you with our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Son. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.